نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونستهديه ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا وسيئات أعمالنا. من يهده الله فهو المهتد ومن يضلل فلن تجد له وليا مرشدا. وأشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله. We praise Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and we thank Him and we bear witness that there is no deity but Him and that Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was His messenger. May Allah peace and prayers be shed upon Him, His companions, His household and those who follow Him until the Day of Judgment. Ameen. We started talking about what did the world lose due to the fall of Muslim Ummah. And in order to really clearly see the loss of the humanity due to the fall of Muslim Ummah, we need to examine two points of the history. The first one is the time of the mission of Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, to see what did the world gain due to the mission of Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and how did he influence the change of history and the change of humanity. And we have finished that. And the second point that we need to look at and examine is the point of modern history after the fall of Muslim Ummah, after the Muslim Ummah ceased to be a righteous superpower, after the end of the Islamic Khilafah, and what did the world lose, what did the humanity lose due to the fall of Muslim Ummah in the modern history. And indeed, the Muslim Ummah have fell down in this modern history for reasons that we clearly discussed and covered in the previous talk, in the previous last Friday. But anyway, now Muslims are in the caravan of humanity. They are no longer the leading superpower, the leading nation in the path of righteousness. They are in the tail, and they have ceased to do their leading and guiding job that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has ordered them to, which is called the task of al-khilafah al-ard, the task of being Allah's deputy on earth, leading people to the righteous path of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And the fall of Muslim Ummah didn't happen overnight. It didn't happen in a year or two. It has a very huge, big, strong superpower. It took generations and generations to fall down. Unlike other historical superpowers where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala have destroyed some overnight, like the people of Aad, the people of Thamud, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala did not let them fall down slowly and gradually. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala destroyed them with miraculous powers overnight. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala did not leave the laws of nature or the laws of materials that He has created to govern life, destroy them slowly, as it is usually the case, but Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala destroyed them overnight. And this is one of the gifts that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given to Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam when he made three requests to Allah. Two were granted and one was denied. The one among the requests that were granted is that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will never destroy the Muslim Ummah using a miraculous power overnight like He did with previous nations. However, the Muslim Ummah now fell down. And this happened over a long period of time. If we have to choose a particular date as a milestone to mark the fall down of the Muslim Ummah, of course, you know, everybody will have a different date in mind, but we can say that March 3rd, 1924 is probably the best representative to this time, because on this day, the hero, so-called hero Kemal Ataturk, has announced the end of the Islamic Khilafah and the starting of the new secular Turkey. And he has also issued few laws to end the Islamic culture with it. For example, he has changed the alphabet of the Turkish language from the Arabian alphabet to the English European alphabet. And this way he disconnected the Turkish people from their previous Islamic heritage, because if they read the books, they won't be able to read it because he changed the alphabet. And he also issued laws to ban the call of the Adhan, so you can no longer hear the Adhan called publicly from the mosques. And he issued laws about changing the formal dress for men to be the European suit and hats, for women, banning of the hijab. So it became illegal to wear the hijab. And until today, in Turkey, ladies who choose to wear the hijab, they are deprived from the public education, from the public health care, from the public employment, from all kinds of public facilities. And sometimes, like what happened with Marwa, who was elected to the Turkish parliament, and she was kicked out and deprived of her Turkish citizenship because she entered the parliament with her scarf. But that was probably is the milestone that marked the end of the Islamic Khilaf. What happened afterwards? We can see that the world has achieved tremendous technological advances, huge technological advancements. We have wireless communications. You can wirelessly talk to a person who exists on the other half, opposite side of the globe, using wireless communication. You can communicate even with that person with wireless internet. We have invaded the space. We have space shuttles. We have satellites. We are broadcasting news everywhere and picking up new signals from everywhere. We have all kinds of... We are traveling with the speed of light. We are leaping on the moon. We are invading the outside space. We have rockets that can deliver bombs, all over the earth. We have all kinds of technological advancements that you can think of. But is the technological advancement a quality or is it a test from Allah? Is it part of the test of submission that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is subjecting us to? Or is it a quality that we have to develop and acquire? Indeed, it is part of the test of submission. If it is, the leading superpowers nowadays that have all this technology are not the first in the history to have such a tremendous technology. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has talked about the people of Ad on Surah Al-Shu'ara. Allah said about them on the tongue of the Prophet Hud. Allah said, أَتَبْنُونَ بِكُلِّ رِيعٍ آيَةً تَعْبَثُونَ. On every high land you are building a landmark to show off. وَتَتَّخِذُونَ مَصَانِعَ لَعَلَّكُمْ تَخْلُدُونَ. And you're building a factory, thinking that this factory is the way to the long-lasting happy life. You think by building these factories you're going to achieve the long-lasting happy life? وَإِذَا بَطَشْتُمْ بَطَشْتُمْ جَبَّارِينَ. And when you fight and destroy your enemies, you destroy them completely and mercilessly, without any mercy. فَاتَّقُوا اللَّهَ وَأَطِيعُونَ. Fear Allah, fear Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and obey my orders. اتَّقُوا الَّذِي أَمَدَّكُمْ بِمَا تَعْلَمُونَ. Fear the one who provided you with all this technology. Fear the one who gave you this power. He is still in control of you. Even though you have that power, you're not in control of him. He can take it away from you anytime he wants, and he can destroy you anytime he wants. But as a result, he kept preaching to them. He told them, fear Allah, don't kill others, don't, you do injustice to other weak nations, don't do this, don't do that. But indeed, they didn't listen to him, and they were so arrogant and proud about what they had, and they told him, we don't need you or your God. We have all the powers and resources that we need. And as a result, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala destroyed them with a miraculous power overnight. Did not let them wait longly, like it is usually the case, but he destroyed them right away. So technology by itself doesn't save people from receiving the destruction of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Did not save the people of Ad, and will not save anybody from the destruction of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Because technology is a test of submission. It can be used and employed to make the life of people easy by inventing, vacuums, washing machines, dryers, things, refrigerators, airplanes, means of transportation that can make the life of the people very easy. And we can also, this is the bright side of technology, but the dark side of technology is called the technology of destruction, or the technology of death, or the technology of war, where we can, in a blink of an eye, like playing a video game, same way a child plays a video game nowadays, we can, from a very, very high airplane, using a video terminal, kill hundreds of thousands of people. But unlike the video game, it's real. We have the technology of destruction and the technology of death that can also be abused and put in the hands of the people who don't fear Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and don't care about anything but strategic materialistic interests. So if we have to judge that, we have to cite a reference, a fair reference, or to in order to really get the numbers and quantify the loss of humanity due to the fall of Muslim Ummah, we have to cite a fair reference. We Muslims don't trust Orientalists. Orientalists are the people who examine the Islamic culture and the Islamic history using perspective mind and Western brains. And we don't trust them. Why? We say, well, they are reading our history and our Quran with eyes that never cried out of the fear of Allah. And they are writing their intellectual production, using hands that never made wudu. So we don't trust them. And we are very careful when we read about them. Same thing. If we turn it around, it's the same thing. We have the right not to trust so-called Occidentalism, which is the opposite of Orientalism, which is basically studying the Western civilizations using a Muslim mind or a Muslim perspective. So in order to really cite a reference, this reference has to be a mutual reference. And the reference that I brought to you today is a book called Out of Control, Global Turmoil in the Eve of the 20th Century. It was written by Zygmunt Brzezinski, who was the National Security Advisor at the time of Jimmy Carter, just the equivalent of Condoleezza Rice today. And he wrote a book called, Out of Control, Global Turmoil in the Eve of the 20th Century. The reason I picked this reference is, number one, the expertise and the educational background of the person as a political person, as a political security advisor, and as a person who were exposed to all kind of classified information that you and me are not exposed to, and as a person who has PhD in political science, who's qualified really to investigate and talk about the subject. And also, he's a Western person. He is not a part of the Occidentalism. So his reference considered to be a fair reference. And basically, he has summarized the disgrace and of humanity during the 20th century into four main areas. The first area he called it the century of mega death. Mega something means millions of dead things. When we say mega dollars, we mean millions of dollars. So I'm going to quote exactly what he said. He said, of those killed in the 20th century wars, approximately 33 million were young men, mostly between the ages of 18 and 30, who were executed in the names of nationalism and or ideology. World War I has consumed at least 8.5 million, while World War II has consumed at least 19 million military lives. We are talking only about soldiers being killed. We didn't talk about civilians yet. Causing a massive biological depletion of talent, energy, and genetic inheritance in several key European nations. Other wars elsewhere in this century caused an additional 6 million deaths. Now, how about on the civilian side? On the civilian side, he said that the practice of total wars in which both civilians and militarists are killed were initiated by Nazis and Japanese armies, and then the so-called democratic societies followed. The hundreds of thousands of innocent civilian kills in the firebombing of Dresden and in the atomic destruction of Hiroshima and Nagasaki provide mute testimony to the moral corruption facilitated by advances in the technology of death. Other civilian casualties are estimated to about 13 million women, children, and older men during World War I and 20 million during World War II. Add to that an estimated 15 million civilian Chinese death in the Sino-Japanese War, which started prior to World War II. In addition, probably no less than 6 million civilians were killed in other conflicts. Among them, the Mexican Wars of the early century, the Bajuil-Bolivar War of 1835, the Spanish Civil War, the blah, 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 all of these wars, which are major wars, same size like Vietnam War, that started in 61 and ended in 74. Now, these are about the wars. How about the genocide or ethnic cleansing or religious cleansing? He quotes few numbers. He said the number of defenseless individuals deliberately put to death because of religious and ethnic cleansing is beyond estimate. He said Hitler caused the deliberate killing of about 8 million Europeans with a special effort made to kill the entire Polish intelligentsia. If you kill the intelligentsia of a nation, who's left? The common people that you can lead like a cattle. And he killed 6 million in Russia. 2 to 3 million were cold, bloodily murdered elsewhere in Europe. In brief, Hitler has killed about 17 million human lives. And that wasn't the record number. You might think that's the record number. No. His number was outdone by Stalin and Mao. Stalin inherited from Lenin an efficiently operating machinery for mass destruction of political and social opponents, and he further improved on it. Lenin killed between 6 to 8 million people, and the number was more or less tripled by Stalin, who caused the death of no less than 25 million people. Of that total, in the year 37-38, about 1 million were shot one by one, and an additional 2 million died in labor camps. Add to that, an additional 1 million were executed in the preceding years, following Stalin's coming to power in the late 1920. Add to that, 7 million victims of Stalin's destruction of the Byzantine society, 12 million died in labor camps, and add $1 million that died after and before World War II, and 1 million prisoners of war that died in Stalin camps. And to this day, the former Soviet Union, which we consider the worst human trial ever, because it survived 70 years and it killed 16 million people. That was the human price on communism trial. And it only lived 70 years, which is the age of a human, not an age of a nation. But he's talking about that, and he's saying, to this day, the former Soviet Union is dotted with enormous secret graveyards, usually located on the outskirts of big cities, in which the bodies of the executed victims were systematically and usually at night buried. Just next to Minsk, Minsk is a city that has 1 million inhabitants. Just next to that city, they found a mass grave that had 200,000 executed victims, and that was uncovered in the late 1980s. Throughout Eastern Europe, in every state, concentration or death camp, a concentration of death camps were established in which enemies of the new regime were put to death. 29 million were killed in an attempt of spreading communism in China, and 3 million victims in the wars between North Korea, Vietnam, Cambodia, and Cuba. Add to that 60 million. This totals to 60 million as the total human price on communism. So to sum up all these numbers, we come up with a number of 175 million humans were killed during the previous century. That number exceeds dramatically all the total number of people that were killed in all previous wars and conflicts. And this huge number is caused by political insanity coupled with advancement in the technology of death and destruction, coupled with the absence of a righteous superpower that can police the world. Just imagine that what happened in New Orleans happens in Augusta, and the police is no longer functioning for whatever crisis. What is going to happen? We will be under the mercy of people who own the weapons, criminals who own the weapons. They can walk in any time and destroy us. In the absence of a righteous superpower, this is exactly what happens. Political insanity, weapons everywhere, hands that don't fear Allah, eyes that don't cry out of the fear of Allah. This is exactly what happens. And this is one of the prices that humanity had to pay due to the fall of Muslim Ummah. أَقُولُ قَوْلِ هَذَا وَأَسْتَغْفِرُ اللَّهَ لِي وَلَكُمْ فَاسْتَغْفِرُوا. الحمد لله وحده والصلاة والسلام على من لا نبي بعده وأشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله إني داع فقولوا آمين. اللهم أعز الإسلام وانصر المسلمين يا رب أذل الشرك والمشركين دمر اللهم أعداءك أعداء الدين اللهم أذن لدينك أن يحكم الدنيا يا أرحم الراحمين اللهم أذن لشريعتك أن تحكم هذه الحياة يا رب العالمين وأن تطهرها من الظلم ومن الفقر ومن الجوع ومن التعاسة يا رب العالمين. اللهم رد المؤمنين إلى دينك الحنيف ردا جميلا يا أرحم الراحمين. ربنا هب لنا من أزواجنا وذرياتنا قرة أعين واجعلنا للمتقين إماما وأقم الصلاة.
الله أكبر الله أكبر الله أكبر أشهد أن لا إله إلا الله محمد رسول الله.